First Baptist Church of Redmond, August 4th, 2019, Revelation chapter 21, Heaven's City.
Would you all please rise and join me in reading Revelation 21, verses 23 through 24? The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you very much. Last week we talked in general about the appearance of the new heavens and the new earth. There was a reference to the New Jerusalem, and that's where we're going to be spending our time this morning, is talking about this place. Forgive me, let me finish my illustration before your mind goes different places. And this is easier if I just read it. Snicker all you want. Marijuana Pepsi Van Dyke has heard all the jokes anyway. Not only is the performance coach, teacher, and mother unashamed of her name, she continually refused to let the perceptions of others limit her ability to achieve. From the time she arrived at university as a freshman, she vowed to earn both her master's and her doctorate, longing for the day when people would call her Dr. Marijuana Pepsi. After 8 years of studying and commuting, she fulfilled that vow. Quote, she says, "People make such a big deal out of it, I couldn't get away from it," end quote. People judged her mother for the choice of her name, but she credits her mom for raising her with a strong will and an inner drive for achievement. She recalls many times growing up when teachers would interrupt roll call to say, "That can't be your name." And she replied, "I'm sorry, you didn't ask anyone else that. Why are you asking me?" The experiences not only helped her develop a firm spine and sense of dedication, but in general pointed her towards a scholarly exploration of how students with uncommon names are treated in the classroom. Her doctoral dissertation was titled, quote, "Black Names in White Classrooms, Teacher Behaviors, and Student Perceptions," unquote. Can you imagine having that for a name, Marijuana Pepsi Van Dyke? Can you imagine that? You're just hearing that, your mind would go someplace. Why am I doing that? When you talk to a Christian about the word heaven, a lot of things come up. So help me. When you think of heaven, audience participation, when you think of heaven, what comes to your mind?
Angels and wings.
Angels and wings, but not thighs and drumsticks and stuff. Oh, sorry, not that kind of wing. Sorry. What else? God's house. Peace. Streets of gold. That's true. I'm sorry? No sin. Lion and lamb. Lion and lamb. So that's more millennium, but the same idea. No night. N, not KN. New bodies. Actually, remade body. The body you have is going to be fitted for the future. Go ahead. Fruit. I was going to say we have fruit for lunch today, but I'm bummed we had fruit for Sunday school. So when you think of heaven, your mind can go, and it just kills me. I'm going to tell you, people write books on heaven that are like this. And I got to tell you, I don't know where they get their stuff from. Because when you write a book like that, generally they're interviewing people, talking about people, discussing all these views. Because like it or not, the Bible says very little about, and in my opinion, very little about the place we will go at the end of our lives for the ultimate future that we tend to call heaven. And the place in the Bible that talks about this with any clarity at all is here. So when we think of heaven, where will you and I live for the rest of eternity? It is here. Now I want to back up and look at last week. Last week we saw chapter 21 begin with "I saw." And John spoke about a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, new things in general, new paradise, new place for God's house, a new source of light. And he mentioned this and passed on, but then he comes back to emphasize it now, so that's what we're talking about. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, I agree with people who say that when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, this is what Jesus was building in heaven. So talk about Jesus being a carpenter. Boom, this is what he built after he left this world. I go to prepare a place for you. John 14, he built the new Jerusalem. Somehow, and again, Bible says zero, somehow when Jesus left this earth, went back up to heaven, the ascension, he has been preparing this place for us, at least his bride, the church, others as well. It is cubic in form. It is a cube, a place for us to call home. And believe it or not, no matter what we see here, this glorious place is not described in detail. So because of that, I will tell you, there are some things I'm going to repeat that people have guessed about based on things they see here. But we have some hard numbers, and then we have a lot of guesses. What is this place? It is heaven. This is a place where we can enjoy unbroken fellowship with God. This is heaven. Heaven is the place where you enjoy unbroken fellowship with God. If I had to define it, that's what I would say. The new Jerusalem. A lot of people sing about it, a lot of people talk about it. Very few Bible verses, but it is mentioned in the New, I believe, and Old Testaments. So, I just read a little bit and then we'll go to what I have. One of the seven angels, notice, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me. In other words, the angel that is going to come and talk to him about the New Jerusalem was familiar to him. Because remember, you had the seal judgments, trumpet judgments, bowl of vial judgments, those kinds of things. One of the angels that brought those last devastating prophecies about the future and enacted them was now also given the task of talking about the New Jerusalem. So he was recognizing this individual come. He says, what is the New Jerusalem? The New Jerusalem is a real city. As I said, I believe it's the place Christ went to prepare for us in John chapter 14. God's throne is now there for all of eternity. Right now, God is someplace. I'll tell you, people write about things and try to take inferences and meaning. A time or two in the Old Testament, there's references to the north. Some people say that if we look at the universe around us from the aspect of the earth, it's somewhere around the Little Dipper. The North Star is where God sort of is. Do we know that? I don't know. People guess. But what we know is in the future, wherever God is, God's on the move. God now lives here in the New Jerusalem. There will be no church building there. There will be no temple there. The focus in this future is on God. No night, no sun. God himself emanates all the necessary light. So when things get remade in the future, are there other planets in our solar system? The Bible does not talk about them. The Bible says there is no sun. So the star that is giving you sunburns and causing dandelions to grow is not going to be in the sky. God somehow emanates all the light that is visible that affects our earth. The New Jerusalem seems to hover in geosynchronous orbit over the city of Jerusalem that seems to be rebuilt for this totally new earth for the future that has been rebuilt on the earth. But this New Jerusalem hovers over it. How far? Don't know. So you can see a lot of graphics there where people are just trying to picture. And someone has attempted to be somewhat accurate because that's a famous picture of the earth. You can see Africa. And then at the top there is Saudi Arabia. And then above that is where they've placed, correctly, geosynchronous, the New Jerusalem. There we go. More about this New Jerusalem. The city will have the shape of a cube around, because when we talk about lengths, sometimes different standards are used, so it's around 1,500 miles per side. Imagine that, 1,500 miles per side, enclosed by a wall that is over 200 feet tall. This city has 12 gates. And it's hard, so I was looking for art depictions, And there's a lot of different formats, and I took this one because it was more obvious. The city has 12 gates, each with an angel, each named for a tribe of Israel. Each gate is made of a separate individual pearl. So I went with ones that had a circular gate. Is it like that? I don't know. Is the pearl carved? I don't know. But each gate heading in to this New Jerusalem, 12 gates, named for tribes of Israel, is a separate individual pearl. If you were to get your map out and pencil and check your scales, this is the size of the New Jerusalem projected over the United States. I couldn't find something like this really over Israel, but I could find over the United States, well, because Americans make most of these. But you can see the size. It goes from Florida past Texas, up north into Canada, and down to New Orleans. So this is approximately 1,500 miles per side. Some people will also, it's very easy when we don't know everything to overthink. Some people will try to overthink that the New Jerusalem is pyramidic in shape because you have a square base. I think the Bible would tell us this familiar shape if it was the case. I think we have something that is a cubic base that goes up. People are trying to visualize how things might be. Pearls with the names of tribes. The city also has 12 foundations. So you have 12 pearls, the children of Israel, and then 12 foundations, one for each of the 12 apostles. What about Judas? Remember, he was replaced with Matthias, and that seems to be what God wanted. So it's not Paul, not somebody else. Those are the 12 apostles. Now we're going to guess a little bit. The city will have pure gold in some of its detailed appearance. Remember, streets of gold, that comes out of this passage. Here's where we're going to guess a little bit. If you were to see it from a distance, it would be sparkling. So when I was growing up, some of our friends had really nice crystal chandeliers, very shiny, very such and that. So imagine if you had this big brick in the sky that has a bright and shining appearance. What would the appearance be? The idea is that it is bright, reflective, it seems to have no visible fault, and it's related to gems. When you think of the concept of a jasper stone, because that's what it's discussed as, that gives you two choices of how to go. Jasper could have a mild appearance, not a dark like jade, but a greenish appearance like jade. It also can have a clear kind of perspective, you know, like holding a quartz, except it's more of a diamond kind of concept. Clear, bright, reflective, evident that there's no faults. So you have this big sparkling crystal that's in the sky. It's a light color, it's obvious, it's clear, and it's ultimately going to place where light emanates from. Amazing. Again, the streets will appear as gold. People have tried a lot of different ways to visualize this. I liked this picture better. All this stuff is on Google. Google this. And I tried to do the Google thing where it's not under copyright, so I hope these aren't under copyright. But you can look this up yourself when you go home. It seems to present. Ezekiel talks about this a lot, and that's a whole other story. Ezekiel talks about the millennial and new heaven, new earth buildings a lot. And, quote-unquote, like a firmament of crystal, Ezekiel 1:22. So what is the top of it like? It seems to have, is it domed? I don't know, but there's something coming out the top. Or is it like light rays, light beams, like if you saw something in a dark background? But there's no dark background in the future because there's no darkness around the new earth. But somehow you have all these foundations that are going to be relating to the 12 apostles. So the appearance is somewhat debatable. Henry Morris, you know him, he writes a lot about the Bible, engineer. Because he's an engineer, he has looked at these and thrown these tidbits out. You can decide how valid they are. He says that if you looked at the description of this 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by estimating how tall it is, 20 billion people could reside in that structure if they had 1 cubic mile of space for themselves. So think of that. A cubic mile, you know, it's not a mile. So it's like about a third of a mile or so on each side. So if you would be happy with having a facility that is bigger than the church property here in all directions, 20 billion friends of yours could be living there with you for all of eternity. When you think of where you will be forever, this is where Jesus has prepared a place. We sing the song Mansion Over the Hilltop because people try to give too much meaning to the place. No, Jesus has given you a 1 square mile condominium in the sky. That's amazing. But this is heaven for us. Everybody has their own place. God has chosen who will live there, who will live with us there. But this seems to be where we will primarily reside in the future. Now again, there's no temple. It's not a Jewish city. God and Jesus serve as the place of worship there. That's why there's no temple. God chooses, notice this, God chooses to fellowship closely with us. When Isaiah had this vision of heaven, Isaiah chapter 6, angels and stuff flowing around, God now is in apartment 11B or wherever he is. God has a spot like everybody else does. And it is his eternal throne room where he's chosen to live. God is not far away in heaven. In this future time, when we go to this ultimate final heaven, God is just down the street. Jesus is down the street. It doesn't mention the Holy Spirit. But remember, when you look at the Bible, they have a relationship. The Holy Spirit's design is to praise and lift up Jesus. Jesus' design is to praise, lift up, and glorify the Father. So if you don't see the Holy Spirit mentioned, it's because he's doing a tremendous job in the future giving this information out to lift up Jesus, whose job is to lift up the Father. Hebrews 11 chapter 9 and 10, the faith chapter, pictures Abraham looking for a city with no foundation, this place. So somehow Abraham had some concept that God was preparing a place like this. And so you'll see all these graphics. When you see all these things, people will sometimes try to overinterpret. But this one I thought, and again, you can just look for this. It has a lot of factual things. They try to describe the different colors that are there. They talk about what's going on. Is this how it looks? I have no idea. But you have this structure. You have gates. You have foundations. You have, somehow you have the ability to move around. Realize that 1 John 3 says, somehow we will what? Be like him. So Jesus did not need a 737 Max, amen? So somehow you will be able, I think, to move. Because believers also seems on occasion to be pictured on the new earth. So do you, some people have been cute and said you travel at the speed of thought. Is that possible? I don't know. Is there a range? Very possibly, because this is the place where God wants to be with us. He's with us. God is with us. He wants to be with us. He wants us to be with them. He provides the light. God will be the light source for this city. So light emanates from God. When God created the heavens and the earth, remember there was light before there were heavenly beings. So God somehow is the light. No darkness. If you drop something, you wouldn't have to get a flashlight. It will be a bright, reflective room. Remember, you've got this clear diamond-looking structure with gold, so you'll have plenty of reflectivity. I don't know if we need to have glasses or not, sunglasses, but it'll be very bright. I want to read a section and tell you what I think. Because sometimes, part of my thing is, I may not know what it means, but I think I know what it does not mean. The city, verse 23, will need no light of the sun or the moon to shine, and in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor. I do not believe this means that there are national groups segmented in the new heavens or the new earth, the new Jerusalem. It's all one group. It's the group of people who have trusted God as their Savior, have believed in Him, and have been rewarded by the righteousness that they get from God, and they get to be with Him forever. Sometimes words and phrases coming from one language to another are difficult. The word nations, and again, remember, God is making a big deal in the book of Ephesians that anyone can come to Christ. It's not just a Jewish club. Non-Jews can come. The word for nations is commonly in the Old Testament. This word in the Old Testament is seen as the Gentiles. So that's how I am taking this, is that when we think of this, God's going out of His way to mention this is not a Jewish fan club. This is not Jewish swim only. This is everyone who has trusted God. So He's going out of His way to say, hey, who's here? Everybody. Even non-ethnic Jews, they have the same status in this future. All they had to do was, again, received Christ, because that's the point. Of those who are saved. That's the real stress. And when you see kings, it's also commenting, I believe, that there are people who were world leaders who God moved to trust in Jesus. So who is there? Everybody? People from outside of God's initial family, Israel, and there have been significant famous people that God has moved in. Because one of the criticisms of Christianity is it's the poor person's religion. Because everybody can come to Christ freely. There's no extra work, no extra classes, no this, no that. You don't have to go and pass a test. If you've trusted Christ, that's the point. So all who trust God will be included in this city. All who are in the Lamb's Book of Life are there. For us, let's look at the closing section here. There will be no evil. And possibly, here's the thing that people speculate on, and maybe they are right. Remember, death, hell, sin, all these things, lake of fire, poof. And, you know, God remakes poof so that there's no, whatever would cause people to look at the created universe and be reflective on sin has been removed. That's my understanding of this. There'll be no evil and possibly no memory of evil when we reach our final heaven. Anything that would distract us from God, anything that would distract us from worship or enjoying being in God's presence is removed. So, guilty conscience, you're not going to have one. Memory of when you took an extra nickel, you put in a nickel in the offering plate and took out a quarter as it went by, no memory of that. No memory of the bad things that others have done. No presence of Satan, no influence, because he's cast in lake of fire forever. Nothing painful or anything that can interfere with our worship and relationship of the glory of God, I believe, will be there. That's the point of all this remaking. Forgive me, this is a thing that people will talk about in sports. A group of people will work in some team in some port. I picked basketball because there was a study done on this, and so I just took the picture that I got from the study. People work together because they want to win. They want to be a champion of something. And that's their focus. That's their goal. I want to be a champion. I want to be the best. So they win. It's very uncommon for teams in any sport, particularly American basketball, who win to win the next year. Why is that? Because we imperceptibly, and ignoring our own minds, we change our goal. If you want to win at something, you do whatever you have to do to win, to be successful, to receive. And then when you receive those accolades, suddenly, in most areas of sport, people decide that it's not good enough to win and be the best, but we need all the things that accompany it. So guys will win, and what do they do? I want another contract. I want a different spot of vacation. I want to influence who this team hires and brings in as new players. So suddenly, everything that was focused on the goal distracts and spreads out all over every place else. And because of that, the goal is forgotten because everyone has their own goal and the team does not repeat, and sometimes it's terrible the next year. When we think of heaven, how did we get there? Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy has he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, not that of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So our focus is to somehow be thankful to God's gift to us and then to honor him. But when sometimes God will bless us, sometimes it's very easy to get distracted and thinking, if I was God, there are some other things I would say are important. And then somehow we get distracted because we're trying to develop what we think God should have done rather than stay focused on, God, thank you. God, praise you. God, I'm glad I'm included. God, let me obey. We talked about, my friends who came up talked about potato chips. Keep the commandments. Praise, pray. Give thanks. Those are the things that we should have focused on to begin with. But if we're not careful, we'll get distracted. So when we talk about heaven, it's really easy to get distracted. I want a gold one. What's the hymn say? That's silver lined. So we want to be sure that we're still focusing on honoring God. Honor God all the time. One day, you're not even going to remember the bad things. You're not going to remember any of that stuff. Because I think God wipes it from our minds. The Bible says he wipes all these things. I think he wipes those things from our minds. We'll be with God forever in heaven. But until we get there, because as much as you enjoy things you're doing right now, this ain't heaven. Amen? So until we get there, stay focused on God. Honor him, praise him, give him thanks, and obey. God, help us to honor you with all the things that we do. Help us to love you, and help us as we love you to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the summary Jesus agreed with about the law. Help us to honor you and to love our friends. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,